Welcome to The Bible Tells Me So, a program sponsored by Starting With Jesus. I'm Miss Katie, your host today. We have Micah to read our questions. Pastor Jonathan is with us to help us find the answer in our Bibles. And Aiden will read the Bible verse for us. Do you have your Bible ready? If you don't, you might want to go and get it so we can find and read the answers together. Our question today is from Benjamin. Hey, Benjamin, I am so glad that you sent in a question. Micah's going to read this question for us. Micah, what did Benjamin ask?
Why did Elijah go to heaven?
That's a great question. You know, the Bible doesn't just come out and say exactly why Elijah was taken to heaven, but there are some clues. And one of them is actually found in the words of Jesus in John chapter 17 and verses 4 and 5.
All right, so John chapter 17. Do you have your Bible? Let's open it up. You guys should be really good at finding John. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book in the New Testament. Once you find John, then we're going to chapter 17. Okay, John chapter 17. And once you get to chapter 17, look right below that, those little numbers. We're going to look at verse 4 and we're going to look at verse 5. Okay, John chapter 17, verse 4 and 5. Aiden is going to read that for us. Here's what it says.
I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that I have done for you, which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me also together with yourself, with the glory I had with you before the world was.
So when Jesus finished the work that God gave him to do on this earth, which was to die for our sins on the cross, and prepare his disciples to take the good news to the whole world, he was taken to heaven. His work on earth was done. And we see throughout the Bible that God has a specific work for people to do. And when their work is all finished, there's nothing more for them to do. It's usually when they're old, but not necessarily. But when they're finished with the work that God has given them to do, then they're allowed to fall asleep in Jesus, to wait for his second coming, or in the cases of a few people, they are taken straight to heaven without ever dying. And so Elijah had a specific work to do in bringing God's people back to him. And shortly before he was taken to heaven, God used him to help people see that Baal, an idol, was not a real God, that it was only the God of heaven who could bring the rain and end the drought that had made everyone suffer and get really thirsty and animals die and plants shrivel up. And when Elijah prayed, God brought the rain. The people realized that God was the true God and their hearts were turned back to God again. It was not long after that that Elijah was taken to heaven.
So his work was done. And God took him to heaven. That's pretty neat. And then he also gave somebody to continue on that work for him with Elisha. Well, I am so glad for that question, Benjamin. You are thinking. That is awesome. Well, if you have a question that you want answered, go ahead and send them to us at seedpod@startingwithjesus.com. That's seedpod@startingwithjesus.com, and we can let you know when your question will be on our program. We are so glad you joined us today, and we want to remind you to start each and every day with Jesus. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising Him. Have you ever participated in a trust fall? You have some people behind you and you face away from them. Usually you're standing on something, so you're a little taller. Then you fall backwards, trusting them to catch you. It's not easy. In fact, it can be very scary. But you know what?
There is such a feeling of exhilaration because you trusted and they caught you. The same is with Jesus. He wants you to trust him. He will catch you. You can rely on him and you can trust him. We are going to learn more about a special disciple today. Do you know what his name is? I'll give you a clue. It starts with a T or TH. Do you know who it is? Thomas. We are going to learn about Thomas today. But before we get started, let's pause and pray that Jesus will give us his love and his understanding today. Lord, thank you for the beautiful day outside. I'm sure it's very hot where many children are. Or if they're in the southern hemisphere, it might be kind of cold. But I thank you for this new day where we can spend time with you. Come into our hearts. Give us understanding. Give us love. And help us to learn more today. Amen. Sunday evening, all the frightened disciples, except Thomas, were together in the same room where they had eaten the Passover supper with Jesus just 3 days before. Remember, Thursday night, they ate the Passover supper. Friday, Jesus was condemned and he died. Sabbath, he rested in the grave. Sunday morning, he arose. He appeared to Mary. And then he had appeared to the two disciples that were on their way to Emmaus, right? And then they turned around and ran back to that upper room where the disciples were all gathered. Everyone except Thomas. And they told them what had happened. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared there, right there, in the room with them. Can you imagine how thrilled, how happy they were? We can read about it because Luke tells us what they were feeling, what was going on. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. It's the very end of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24, and then you're going to look down for verse 33. And then we're going to skip 35 and then we're going to read 36, okay? Luke chapter 24, the big numbers, 24. Then you're going to read verse 34 and 36, okay? Luke chapter 24, verse 34 and 36. Let's see what that says.
Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you."
There's Jesus standing in the middle of all of them in that room. He just appeared. Poof! He appeared. And he said, "Peace to you." Like all the other disciples, Thomas felt very sad and disappointed when Jesus had died. He loved Jesus with all of his heart, and like all the disciples, he had been sure that Jesus would become king and drive away their enemies. But when Thomas heard that Jesus was alive again, he just didn't believe it. The disciples had told Thomas because he wasn't there in the room. But later on, they told him, they said, Jesus appeared to us. Jesus is alive. But he didn't believe it. He said he would have to see Jesus himself before he would believe that he was alive. You can see that that's what he said. Let's look at John chapter 20, verse 25. John is one book over. John chapter 20, verse 25. John chapter 20, verse 25. Okay? John chapter 20, verse 25. This is what it says.
The other disciples, therefore, said to him, We have seen the Lord. So he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.
There's two other places in the Bible that Thomas's conversation or his words were also recorded. And John tells about those. He talks about what Thomas said in John chapter 14, verse 5, and also in John chapter 11, verse 6. Thomas doesn't do a lot of talking in the Bible, but when he has something important to say, John made sure to write it down. Thomas just didn't believe. He was like, Unless I put my hand in his side, see those nail prints, I'm not going to believe. Besides, Thomas thought, if Jesus is really alive, well, why didn't he talk to me too? I think Thomas was just a little bit jealous. And for a whole week after Jesus came to life, Thomas still didn't believe it. An entire week went by. He still decided to be with the other disciples one evening. And tomorrow we're going to find out about that next time. Did you know that doubting is not the same as believing? Many times people don't want to believe because they're afraid that they might be wrong or that they might get hurt if they believe. For example, when I was younger, I had a grandma who I loved to spend time with. The problem was she lived a long ways away from me and we didn't get to see her very much. But when she came to visit, it was so much fun. There was just one problem. My grandma was quite the free spirit. She would flit from here to there in her motorhome and just travel the country and hanging out with friends. And she loved that. And so sometimes she would say that she was going to come visit or stop by as she was driving through, and it wouldn't always happen. In fact, I remember one time I was so excited that she was going to come, and then my mom told me that her plans had changed and she wasn't coming. And I remember feeling so betrayed and so angry and so frustrated. And you know what? From that point on, I kind of didn't believe my grandma. I was like, well, just because she says it doesn't mean it's actually going to happen. I didn't believe her. I got to the point where I couldn't trust her. But you know what? That's not the same as Jesus. Can we always trust Jesus? If what he says is going to happen, can we trust that it will happen? Yes, because it's happened in the past and he cannot lie. There's no way that he can lie. If he says it, it's going to happen. But Thomas was having a hard time. He was kind of being like me with my grandma. He didn't really believe that Jesus would come. And he was just feeling really upset and frustrated and irritated. I can totally understand how he was feeling. But you know what? Jesus always tells the truth. And if Jesus tells the truth, can we always believe him? Can we always trust him? Do we have to doubt or can we believe? We can believe. And I'm so glad that Jesus gives us that foundation. He makes it so that we never have to doubt him. Let's pray and thank him. Thank you, Lord, for your truth, that no matter what you say, it will happen. Thank you for being there for us. Help us not to doubt, but to believe. In your name, amen.
1 John 4:15.
Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God.
The Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.